This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On Tuesday, the World Health Organization reported that the global mortality rate for COVID-19 may be even higher than had been previously believed.
About 3.4% of reported COVID-19 cases have died. By comparison, seasonal flu generally kills far fewer than 1% of those infected.
So how does the public begin to parse the often mixed messaging surrounding the possible pandemic? On Tuesday the 25th, Nancy Messonnier, the director of the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Disease, famously told reporters in a telephone press briefing,
"Ultimately, we expect we will see community spread in this country. It's not so much a question of if this will happen anymore, but rather more a question of exactly when this will happen and how many people in this country will have severe illness."
When she warns of possible community spread, she's referring to the spread of an illness for which there is no known source. On Wednesday, the 26th, the first possible case of community spread in the U.S. was reportedly detected in California. Also on Wednesday,
"That I'm going to be putting our Vice President Mike Pence in charge, and Mike will be working with the professionals, doctors, and everybody else that's working. The team is brilliant."
So, with the coronavirus response under new leadership, Thursday the 27th came and went without a telebriefing from the CDC.
Thursday was a very strange day, given the briefing that had come on Tuesday.
I'm sitting with editor and reporter Elizabeth Kim, who's been covering the virus for The Gothamist, a New York City news outlet produced here at WNYC.
Tuesday's briefing, after that briefing, the headline that I saw in many places was straight from Dr. Nancy Messonnier, "This might be bad."
Mm-hmm.
Every reporter had the expectation that the CDC would hold a briefing, because that has been routine for them. Every time there was any notable news, even early when most of the news was coming from China, they would hold a briefing.
So when you were learning about the spread of coronavirus from the CDC in the early stages, before the virus crossed all of these borders, including the U.S. border, what were you hearing?
Up until that point, the briefings tend to be a little dry. It's a lot of data. It's a lot of jargon, both science jargon and also jargon that the agency uses internally. You know, to be honest, you kind of had to really pay attention, because it's not always interesting stuff. It's not always dramatic stuff either.
And as a local reporter, had you covered a health emergency before?
No. So what was interesting about this was that we decided early on that, you know, at the point where it was basically an epidemic in China, but it was a growing epidemic, that this was something that was not a local story, but it really had potential local implications. And as the days went on and we were hearing city officials, state officials say, it's not a question of whether this virus is going to come to New York. It's a question of when. That's when I decided I have to listen to almost every single briefing this agency gives. The CDC is the leading national health agency. And they're the ones that are on the ground when there is a case, when there is an outbreak. They're the ones that are doing this process known as contact tracing, where they're trying to figure out how many people this infected person got in touch with and how do they figure out where the source is and who should they alert and who should be quarantined. So they're a very important agency.
Now, as we heard from Lori Garrett, science reporter, last week, it is the localities that actually lead and coordinate the activity in every community. So the CDC can't come in and overrule the New York authorities. Ultimately, they're responsible for coordinating the response. They can advise and they can do the tracing and that sort of thing. Ultimately, though, we are reliant, each and every community, on these local officials.
That's true, but the local officials take their lead from what the CDC tells them.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that have this team of expert scientists, and they're the ones who can talk about the correct protocol to follow. This is the case with New York City, and I'm sure other cities do it as well. If you go to the local health website and you're trying to find out more information about the coronavirus, they're going to have a link to the CDC.
Sure.
If you want to know about travel advisories, they're going to tell you, go look at the CDC's website. So it's a really important source. And for a local reporter like myself, it's really kind of wonderful to be able to go on these, like to basically call and listen in on these press briefings, because you're kind of put on the same footing as reporters everywhere that are calling in from all across the country.
How do you translate some of that jargon if you're not versed in that world?
So basically, that's the point of listening to them regularly, because in the beginning, it's a little bit, especially if you're not a health reporter and you're not familiar with all of these terms of epidemiology or, you know, even the term like contact tracing, like mm-hmm. now I can say that. So you get a flavor of that.
And that's what you were getting.
Yes.
And then it started to get a little closer to home. And then there was the announcement that Pence would be the task force head.
The New York Times had a very interesting story where they said that the White House was moving to tighten control of the messaging by government, health officials, and scientists, and that they were directing them basically to coordinate all of their communication through Vice President Pence.
But then on Friday, the CDC did hold a telephone press briefing. And it seemed that Dr. Messonnier's tone had shifted a little. Here's a clip of that.
As always, President Trump's and our number one priority is the health and safety of the American people. Our mission includes providing you with clear information that allows you to make decisions about how best to protect yourself and your family.
I have been listening to these briefings since January. So when I told you, you know, they're usually mostly dry. Tuesday was definitely an outlier. But then Friday was the first time I had ever heard Dr. Messonnier invoke the Trump administration. And I'm taking notes on this. And basically the way I do it is oftentimes I like to type stuff into Slack, which is how our newsroom communicates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm typing sort of stuff that I'm hearing on the call. And I type that quote that you actually just played. And then one of our editors immediately pointed out, that statement sounds nearly identical to the one that Vice President Pence used on Fox News mm-hmm. on Thursday.
When the president tapped me to lead the White House effort on this, I think it just demonstrated again to the public the seriousness that the president's placed on this. He's telling us to lean into this effort out of an abundance of caution because he has no higher priority than the health and safety of the American people.
As I'm listening to the call, I mean, it becomes obvious that she's really trying very hard to basically praise Trump's efforts. That was also not the way these press briefings have been typically. And she also pulled back, too. I mean, Tuesday, it was like, prepare yourselves. This is going to be bad. And then all of a sudden, Friday, she was a lot more measured. She just kept giving credit to the administration for their early containment strategy. The other reason we were very interested in Friday's call was that by Friday, Rush Limbaugh had basically, during his show,
pointed out that Dr. Messonnier
is the sister of the former Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Well, take that, do what you want with it, mate.
Because of what he said, there were a lot of things that surfaced on social media attacking her. So this was a very interesting moment for her to kind of watch how she was going to respond. And so on Saturday, when she held her press briefing, and this was, you know, it's a very somber moment, too, because it was the first death from coronavirus in the United States.
As well as the first reported case in a healthcare worker and the first possible outbreak in a skilled nursing facility. These reports from the state of Washington follow others of community spread in Oregon. And
it was still measured, but there was no invocation of, you know, the administration has done this great, unprecedented job. There was none of that. And the same would go for the press briefing since.
What are local reporters trying to get from the CDC on these calls? What to do? What we can tell our residents to do?
Since the epidemic broke out in China, everybody has been trying to really understand how an epidemic like this spreads. You know, we're not looking for elected officials or even local city officials. We kind of want to look to the leading scientists who know, who have worked on prior epidemics. For a local reporter like myself, it's like very exciting to be able to listen in on a call because you're kind of seeing this as, at least I had originally saw it as, this is unfiltered advice that's coming from the top.
Do you still regard it that way? And if you suspect it may be a bit more filtered than you like, where else will you go?
That was the little panic that went through my mind last week when they didn't hold a call. And then there was that story that Vice President Pence was going to control the messaging. Then I immediately called someone and I asked, you know, this is another health expert, another scientist. And I said, you know, in a situation like this, what do you think is going to happen? Am I going to have to increase my reliance on local authorities? Because just because CDC isn't talking to the press, it doesn't mean that they're not still doing their jobs, which is working with state and local health officials on this epidemic. This expert told me, yes, but it's a shame because you really don't want to have that message filtered in any way because you have to think, too, that, you know, if you're talking to city health officials, sometimes you have to be cleared by the mayor's office. Sometimes the mayor wants to take the lead. So he said to me, you really don't want elected officials to be the ones that's giving you on-the-ground information about a health outbreak, about science.
What about Doctors Without Borders or Partners in Health and the other organizations that go into places where there are health emergencies?
I think that's true in other countries that don't have this type of infrastructure. Here we have the CDC, and the CDC is built basically to, A, go on the ground to advise localities, but then also communicate to the public and tell them what we should be doing.
So on Tuesday, there was another press briefing from the CDC. Now you've had a few of them post the Pence task force under your belt. Do you still regard the CDC as a reliable source of fresh and relatively unfiltered information?
So one of the questions that Dr. Messonnier was asked at the Tuesday press briefing was, are you able to speak freely? And that was a very interesting question. And her answer,
as many of you know, I've been doing these telebriefings regularly since the start of this outbreak. And I think we at CDC have been very open and able to answer lots of different questions, including those posed on these conferences. Thank you.
Yeah, she doesn't really answer the question. I would say that Tuesday's briefing was more in line with how the briefings had been before the vice president took over. She was, again, very serious about the disease, but also I think she was talking under the assumption that this is going to spread. Let's prepare ourselves. There is going to be disruption in our day-to-day lives. Think about what it might be like to have to spend 2 weeks away from work. Thinking about social distancing measures where, you know, you're staying 3 to 6 feet away from people. I think the assumption is that this is going to be real, at least from the CDC's perspective.
Elizabeth, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Elizabeth Kim is a reporter and editor at Gothamist, published here at WNYC. For more on the media, check out The Big Show, hosted on Fridays, or go to onthemedia.org to sign up for our newsletter.